Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD, and welcome to Championship Week. It is here. Conference tournaments start tomorrow, March 2nd. It is Sunday, March 1st, right now. We are here for a bracket rundown show with a full Brady Bunch panel of at least nine, maybe even have a 10th joining in. Someone new, also, if she is able to jump in later on. This is also a combo show. It's also our day zero, our preview show for our championship for Championship Week, our Championship Week video notebook day zero, I guess we'll call it. But I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've got David Dorman and Matt Sikowski up here, David Griggs in the center square, Joby Fortson and John Slica to his sides, Mike Cha down in the bottom row, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, and John Tytel to his sides. And before we get to the bracket rundown portion, where we each submitted our top 55 teams and we cross-country scored them and created a bracket out of that we're going to be revealing here. Before we get to any of that, we've got a problem here because I have a screen issue. But aside from that, Griggs, what else are we doing tonight?
Well, I was thinking we were going to be doing a blind resume to start things off because we always do that. But since you're having a problem, I don't know what we're going to
I think his blind resume may not be as blind as we thought.
It wasn't quite as blind, exactly. It wasn't quite as blind as well, but we actually have something else to do, Griggs, before we get to any of that. It is Championship Week, and we all know what that means.
we're not doing no, we're not
Lock him up.
we're not doing that.
Everyone is safe. Griggs is in the Hoops HD Pump It Bunker 2026.
You know, Joe Lenardi's not actually in a bunker. Like what sparked this off? Like there is no like he's got a stu he's got a kitchen. He can like go to the bathroom and you know, he actually goes home at night.
You got a basketball. You got like three bottles of whiskey in there, Griggs. You got a
Yeah.
sandwich.
No,
There's
there's probably
four.
a toilet you just can't see because
Yeah,
it's
go to
empty.
the bathroom.
You got some friends there, little rodents.
He's got the
There's
bunker
rats in
from
here.
NYPD Blue. You should feel honored.
But
Is that a sort of mattress that I see?
let's maybe
No.
it was maybe 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we do want to start things off here with a blind resume. Let's go ahead and pull it up here. I throw two teams here that a couple of you I'm sure I've already probably figured out from 3 seconds who they are, but others, might like this comparison and would like to ask the question here on the blind resumes, left or right, who do you like better and why? And Tytel, I know you're a big fan of these, so why don't I start with you on this one?
Big fan who rarely gets it right, but I'll give it a shot. So I'm leaning left for a couple reasons. Number one, better overall record. Number two, the WAB likes some more. Three, the JNG likes some more. Four, the OAR likes some more. You can make an argument on the right for sure, but I'm leaning left because it seems like it's better in many different categories.
Matt, what do you think? Right or left? Because I see one glaring thing that I know you like that's better on the right.
The right team's a little better at the metrics. And that I think overall, though, I'd probably still lead the left because it's not a big difference in the performance metrics. And I think there's a pretty sizable one in the resume one. And that's where I would slightly lead the left.
Certainly in the left. Okay. Am I going to sell anybody on the right there? Let me kind of throw it open.
The one on the right got in today.
Joe, you
I
already
don't
figured
know
out
who
who the
left is. I
one.
need to look up who left is, but right, I know exactly who right is. And
And
right,
actually,
I
I
do
know
think
who
is
right is
inside the
now.
bubble, but man, they were outside it before today.
I know who the right is, and I still don't like that they're in. So, to whoever the one on the left is, I like them more. Because at least it's not the one on the right. And yeah, I hope Galen is watching.
Well, it's not Galen's team.
No, it's definitely not Oh, I
Galen.
hope. Well, I hope Kyle's watching.
Yes,
Well,
Kyle.
Galen's team has
Kyle
a
should be
chance to
watching.
steal it next week. I'll just say that.
Rocco, let me ask you: the team on the left is not a team
Okay.
that I think we've really talked as much being near the bubble most of the season. But is this team suddenly in a little bit of trouble here when you look at that profile on the left?
Potentially, because the next two games that they play, even though they're in question marks there, I know they have some two big ones. And if they can't get either of them, I think they'll be scrutinized heavily. I think they go 1-1 this week. They should be okay. But I think they're still slightly above the team on the right based on, it hasn't been an impressive road resume. They got some big home wins. Not as good as the one on the right, but they have multiple. That's why we're sticking with the ponies.
And you just nailed it. Team on the left, the Ponies, SMU. Team on the right, Ohio State, which was hinted at before as well.
Those are hard games to win for SMU that's coming up.
Yeah, they're both hard, I think.
And this is, Joe, you're an ACC guy. This is a dangerous week for SMU, who is
It is.
clearly the field all season until recently.
I think SMU, at the end of the day, because of where the cut. Hey, conference upsets can change things, but I don't know if they can fall outside even with losses this week because Miami's in the field, and anyone who's been watching Florida State lately knows that had the season started in January, we'd be talking about them in the field probably, or mid-January, I should say. They've played great over the last month and a half. So you're not going to punish them hard necessarily. I think their record holds up just enough, though I hate when a record starts to get sloppy like this, overall record being. But I think SMU's probably in the field, but they really don't want to have to argue about it. If they get one of the, I'm with Rocco. If they get one of the two, then we're not even talking about them on the bottom. Whereas if they don't get both, we're slicing and dicing, but they're lucky that number 47 in the J&G, in my honest opinion of what the committee looks like, is miles away from number 46, and that includes SMU.
I think one of the more fascinating blind resumes we could have had could have been Auburn and Florida State because they both have 15 and 14 records now. Auburn now
I'll
6 and
tell you
10
the
in the
problem, Slee,
SEC.
got is Auburn. Auburn was such a dead giveaway when you look at their overall record that it was, I just couldn't keep up there. All right, who else is 15 and 14 and on the bubble?
Florida State.
Well, they're
Well,
not on
not on the
the
bubble, but
bubble.
if you want to look at where those programs have gone of late, Auburn's been tanking and Florida State's been picking off ACC team after ACC team.
The funny thing, John, is those are the two teams that played the best in the swamp. Florida State almost won there, and Auburn did win there. That's an amazing commonality between the two.
Florida State should have won that game. I
I
mean, in
know
the
they had them
swamp.
for a while. They had them for
Yeah,
a
they
while.
really should have, but should have, would have, could have. I think we might be talking about had they won that game, I think because they wouldn't be 15 and 14, they'd be 16 and 13. Okay, a little better record. They might actually get a very serious look at that point.
UMass is a problem, but yes.
Let's go ahead and
Auburn's strength of schedule is going to hold a little there.
I'm going to go ahead and jump over to our bracket. What I'm going to do is we're going to be revealing one team at a time here for the first 16 teams, all those teams in yellow, what are called the protected seeds. Then we'll go full seed line at a time, all the way until we get through the end of the at-large field, and then we'll go a little bit quicker for the bottom of the field, the under-the-radar teams, the single-bid league teams. But Dorman, let me
Well,
start with
these were,
you.
well, wait a minute. These were
Go ahead.
cross-country scored, these brackets.
Yes.
Well, why didn't you just use my seed list? Like, why even bother?
Dorman, I'm going to start with you. Number one overall team. It was almost unanimous, but since Griggs doesn't count, it was unanimous. Was the Duke Blue Devils.
I agree with everybody. I had them first overall, and I believe that's where they sit today.
Griggs, I'll give you 3 seconds on this. You actually were the only person that didn't have number one, and you actually had Arizona as your number one.
They did, and I think that their wins, they've just got more that are really good. Florida, Houston, Connecticut, Alabama, probably all protected seeds that are about to go into their bracket. They beat them all away from home. One of their losses, Texas Tech on a neutral floor by one, also a protected seed. And their only sort of bad loss by one seed standards was the loss at Kansas. I didn't think it was any worse than Duke's loss at North Carolina. Now, I like both of these teams. I mean, it isn't that I have a problem with Duke. It's that I just think Arizona isn't just very good. I think that they're just exceptionally good. The win at Houston, the win at Connecticut, as good as Duke is, There's nothing as good as that, and they have a couple of wins like that that are better than what Duke has. I think Arizona. I mean, they went into Kansas. They just killed them.
Doesn't Texas Tech on at home?
Arizona lost at Kansas. They
Yeah.
killed Kansas at home. They lost at
Yeah.
Kansas. Great.
Okay. They.
Texas
Yeah.
Tech losses at home, not neutral.
Yep.
Yeah. It is.
And Matt, how can you say that Duke doesn't have anything as good when they beat the team that we're probably going to see next, Michigan, on a neutral court just a week ago?
Well, I say, yeah, that's basically the same as Florida. I mean, I as you see, I probably value Florida now the most of anyone, but still probably over Michigan, like at best is the same, if
Arizona
not a
beat
little
Florida
better.
back in November, Matt.
At
When
Houston,
Florida.
at Connecticut. I mean, while at Michigan State is really good, it's not as good as at Houston or at Connecticut. They've got two that beat it.
Let's go ahead and move on. Stalika, number two overall, is not even Arizona. It's that Michigan team that Duke beat.
This was a Michigan team that early on in the year looked like they might be a runaway choice for number one. Even right now, when you look at the Michigan Wolverines, they've still got a higher concentration of wins than Tier 1A, and for that matter, Tier 2A, which is the same reason that we had Duke over Michigan and Arizona as far as number one overall.
They have a home loss to Wisconsin, which is not, I mean, Arizona doesn't have a loss that bad. I'm still not sold on this Michigan team. What have they done?
I'm really got to throw them off the show one of these days.
Yeah, throw them off.
Tytel,
Just cut the
number three
electricity in this
overall.
bunker.
No surprise, Tytel, your Arizona Wildcats got number three overall.
No surprise at all. I love that they're as much as I want him to be in the East so I can see him with my own two eyes in person. I like the path of going to San Diego and then San Jose. Hopefully, plenty of alums and fans and students and everything who are from or living in California. So they should have a ton of fan support. The Kansas game, it was weird in that, like, it was all Wildcats in the first half, and then the Jayhawks cut it to like two early in the second half, and then, like, it was over, like a huge run right out of the gate. Peterson was healthy and playing great. The rest of the Jayhawks did not. Koa Pete is back, seemingly, if not 100%, at least healthy. So I think that all Arizona fans are feeling good. We clinched a share of the Big 12 title. We should be number one seed in the Big 12 tourney. And Dorman and I are going to be smiling for the next several weeks, hopefully.
Yes, I agree with everything Tytel said, and I'm going to go on with the look. Arizona has done a really good at halftime with adjustments, and Tommy Lloyd's done an incredible work. There's been a lot of games this year where it's been tight going into halftime. Adjustment time, Tommy Lloyd's done some things on offense, and Arizona's really put on the pressure coming out of the half, and they're just race boating and their opponents and bow racing their opponents, and by the end of the mid second half, they really have pulled away. So Arizona's doing a great job at halftime and coming out strong in the second half.
Yeah, I think clearly this is the best overall team, and they clearly have the best profile.
Okay, we gotta keep going here, Griggs, and you might get muted before we're done. But Rocco. Number four overall. This one, there was a little bit of a dispute. It was almost unanimous. We do have the UConn Huskies, though, that got that. And but is there an argument that somebody else maybe should be here on the one line instead of them?
I don't think there's an argument at this point. UConn's done what they need to do. Obviously, they do have the Creighton home loss, so you can poke the bear with that. It's a sharp stick, but when you look down to it, there's really only one team competing with them at this point, and they beat that team on a neutral court, 77-73. And so they have ro a road win at the Fog, road win at Nova, got the revenge on St. John's. They beat Illinois on a neutral. BYU is still worth something, not sure what, but something. And, based on the fact that they've only lost three times, that's half the amount of losses as Florida in a weaker league. I get that. But all these losses, besides the one at St. John's, were non-conference anyway. Same with Florida.
I do think that While I agree that they are the four seed, that they are the fourth number one, they are pretty clearly the fourth number one. I think the other two are getting to a point to where they could miss the bust of the conference tournament and not move off the one line. Whereas Connecticut, while they only have the three losses, they have had games where they've kind of sleptwalk. And I know that that's kind of typical when you're undermatched a lot and not, but you're undermatched by teams that are still really good and that are still really up for playing you. But I don't think there's a reason why the first three were unanimous, and as Chad said, this one wasn't.
I gotta say, well, Matt, you were one of the people that would have actually had Florida over UConn. UConn has kind of been playing down to their competition. They got up for the Johnnies game, but they surely didn't for the Seton Hall or the Creighton games.
Yeah, so they almost messed around and lost the Seton Hall game, which I think that goodwill they gained, and they gained some goodwill for not just winning St. John's, but winning it so convincingly. They almost gave it right back, losing at home to Seton Hall, where like Florida just blew out an Arkansas team that basically no one has done that to Arkansas this year. Florida ran them right out the O-Dome. I love how Florida's playing. I think they're the better team. I think Florida would be favored, and by favored by 4 or 5 points over UConn on a neutral court right now.
Yeah, I just
Mike's.
add,
Go ahead.
Chad, I just a quick note on Florida I wanted to add real quick is the one of the biggest challenges right now is we've been blown away with how they played the last 6, 7 weeks, but it's all been against their conference. And right now, the rest of their conference, especially those next four to five teams, if you throw Kentucky in, has just been cannibalism. There's no other dominant team in the SEC, so it's really hard to gauge where Florida stands, even though they've looked so good, they're so dominant. The big difference is UConn in non-conference play was up there with the elites. And Florida, I think Florida, it was a good thing they lost all those games because it made them who they are now. But unfortunately, building their resume with all SEC wins, look at that. Their only win in quad one outside of the SEC is Miami. And so that's a big problem because you need that mix of non-conference results.
Absolutely. And Mike, I just showed that Florida was our number five overall team. They ended up in the Midwest in Chicago. That's probably not the, you probably would think that they may have gone to a different region. There were some region balance issues. The
Yeah,
two and
plus we have
three
Big
last
Ten
time.
teams as the two seed. They can't be in Michigan's region, so it's kind of like there's not much choice. But Florida's they're red hot. It's like, I mean, if they're in Michigan's region, it's like that could be trouble for the Wolverines. I mean, Florida's just red hot. They're playing like a number one seed. And if UConn slips, Florida could be in prime position to snatch that final number one seed.
Tell you what, we've got all kinds of people jumping on the show tonight. Our good friend Brian Black just jumped in with us. Brian, first of all, how you doing?
Good. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
We can.
Brian, how are you,
Brian,
man?
good to
Brian.
see. Good to see y'all. You doing good?
No, they threw me in the damn bunker again.
Oh, in the bunker. What'd you have to drink this time?
I don't know.
Here you go, Brian. That's where he is right now.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Is it a comfortable bunker?
No, it is not.
Oh dear.
Brian,
Well,
Brian.
hopefully it's not padded.
It isn't.
Okay, good. Good. It's good.
Well, Brian,
Rocket.
we're revealing our consensus seed list here, and our number six overall team was Iowa State.
Okay.
What do you think about them? Get your thoughts on the Cyclones.
I agree. In watching them every now and again, because I kind of, I go through each conference as best I can, but in watching them, I do find they move the ball well. I find that they respond pretty well to the coach. It does, they let other teams go on some runs sometimes, but yeah, I feel like they're right there in that top, basically when that one or that t number one or number two seed to me, they feel like a solid number two, just in the eye test alone.
Yeah, almost a little surprising that home loss to Texas Tech, just because Texas Tech played without JT Toppin, but.
Oh my God, that was. I think Iowa State, before that, I would have said that they were unstoppable at home. If they have, and when you're comparing them to one seeds, like the level of comparison is just off the charts. They don't have the monster wins that the four teams on the one line have. And I think that, at least away from home, well, they did have the win at Purdue, but they've struggled a little bit more on the road and dropped some more games than the teams on the one line. I think this is about right, the two line.
Stalika, I'm going to go to you for team number seven because it's a team that you would not have had in the two line. I want you to tell us why you would not have been there. Houston coming in there at number seven overall.
I think in the case of the Cougars, it's probably the fact that they weren't able to cash in on as many wins against the top of the Big 12, for example. I think Texas Tech was the one team they were able to pick off, but failing to capitalize at Kansas, Iowa State, and Arizona, for that matter, probably going to cost them when you compare them to potential teams like Texas Tech, Illinois, and Purdue that are going to be coming up.
And that's a fair point, Titel, is it not, that Houston really has come up short in most of their big tests this season?
It has. As you've known for a couple of weeks, I'm still stunned that Arizona beat them on the road because, as you're well aware, they never, and I mean never, lose at home. And it certainly has affected them because the losing continued at Kansas, although, as Arizona proved a couple of weeks ago, it's not easy to win at the Fog either.
Yeah.
Am I worried about a team that is predictive metrics 4, 5, and 6? Absolutely not. Certainly, like, it's a cause for concern that they're losing to good teams, but I wouldn't hit the panic button at all.
Joby, let me go to you for team number eight. You were the only person that did not have this team as a 2 seed. You would have had them as a 3. And that's the Illini.
I think the Illini are, this was more of, I really liked who I placed there because Illini were 9th on my seed list,
okay.
You know, in all fairness. So this isn't really a hit at the Illini here. It's that I really liked, and I have a feeling I am way ahead of everybody on this. I like the collection of wins that Kansas has put together. I really do. I just love what they've done, you know. And so it was, I'm making a choice. And Kansas, they've already beaten 3 teams we have already mentioned. Yeah, you know, I just love that. And I know it's at the Fog. Okay, Griggs, you can hit me for it. I like the fact they have proven they can beat Final Four caliber teams. And so I am more, it's more about promoting Kansas than it is hitting Illinois, who's a solid team, but hasn't, you know, is far from perfect. You know, they, but if Illinois were on the 2 line, I'd have no qualms with it. It's more about promoting the Jayhawks.
Matt, is he kind of in a different ballpark than the rest of us by having Kansas as high?
Yeah, I had Kansas right between the 3 and 4. I think I had him as my last 3, but now I'd actually look at another
top 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, I actually would prefer another Big 12 team we're talking about if we're considering one. I think they're in the contention. I think this spot is open. I think there's a few teams that can play there, but like if we're talking a Big 12 team we want to put there, I'd put Texas Tech there, not Illinois. They're not Kansas, yeah.
Yeah. World win at Arizona.
And Kansas, yeah.
Let's take a look at the top of the at the number 9 overall, at the first of our top of our 3 line here. Rocco, it's Purdue that comes in there. Do you agree?
I think so. Obviously, got to reevaluate it after the loss to Ohio State this morning. So, you know, that's up for debate. You know, one team that stands out is Michigan State winning there, but that's just, you know, there's so many head-to-head results within these Big Ten teams. It's really hard to decipher. But Purdue is benefiting from beating Texas Tech in the Bahamas, beating Nebraska on the road. And so, yeah, we have these big pieces of results at this stage of the season, but it's really, really hard when Purdue beat both Texas Tech and Nebraska away from West Lafayette. Michigan State's the wild card in there, them going into Mackey and winning. And so I'm stuck with those four, which order they belong in. Illinois has a little bit of an edge on each of those head-to-heads. Of course, Illinois winning at Purdue and beating Texas Tech and Champaign, and beating Michigan State. So it's wild right now. And Illinois split with Nebraska. They did the road win exchange program. They enrolled together. So that was very beautiful. And now it's just a jumbled mess. I feel like the committee would have to really favor to you know, maybe not every committee member, but certainly a few of them would really key in on the head-to-head here.
Yeah, I'll throw out there also that Alabama win's looking better and better.
Yeah,
the title.
Yeah, in Tuscaloosa, yeah, as well. It wasn't neutral. Yeah.
Let me see. Who are we up to now? Doran. Number 10 overall, it is that Texas Tech team that we discussed already. Still not seeing Joby's Kansas team, by the way.
I agree
They're
with
tough.
this. I like Texas Tech. They have shown me a ton. They went into Ames over the weekend when everyone thought they were going to get blown out because this was the game where JT Toppin, whose presence was going to be not being able to play was going to show through. And this is where they were going to get run out of the gym and the Hilton Magic. And you know what? Texas Tech got up on them good and never let up. And I think Grant McCaslin is doing one of the best jobs in the country this year. I give Texas Tech all the credit in the world. I don't have them any, I can't see them any lower than this spot. They definitely deserve this spot. We see what they're doing without Toppin. And if they can go into win in the Marriott Center and BYU to end the season and don't have a bad loss in the Big 12 tournament, I think they can even go higher than this in the bracket.
I actually had them on the two line, and if you're watching the show right now, you can see the resume. If you're listening on Spotify, you need to get to YouTube so you can see the resume, but I'll read it. Duke, neutral floor at Arizona, both those teams on the one line. Houston at home, still pretty good, and then at Iowa State. That is a collection of wins that is better than any other collection of five wins that any team has. Period. That's incredible. And that they got the last one without JT Topp. And if you watch that game, one of the things that's kind of obvious, and it was with Cincinnati too, albeit against a much lesser team, Texas Tech is still very good defensively without him. Oh my God.
Mike, you'll like this one, number 11 overall. How about not Kansas again? How about Michigan State?
Yeah, I mean, this is March, and they say it's January, February Izzo. The win at Purdue has really turned things around in their favor. Otherwise, they were kind of flirting with the four seed, but beating Purdue at their place, and then winning today at Indiana. I mean, still that's a high quality road win, a 1A, tier 1A win. Never count out Sparty, and especially now that the calendar has turned to March. If you look at their resume here, it's not just what they've done in the conference, but wins against Arkansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. They have a very strong resume, and only five losses, all in tier one. Three of the five losses against the top. So, I'm very good with Michigan State being a three seed.
And Mike, let me ask you, if they go into Michigan next weekend and
It's
knock
gonna be a
off your
heat.
Wolverines, this could be a two seed profile, is it not?
It could be. It could very well be. They should take care of, sorry, Chad, but they should take care of Rutgers easily in the home finale. And then
Absolutely.
at Michigan, that's going to be an emotionally charged game for sure. And then they can win that game. We might be talking about a two seed for the Spartans.
Right, let's go to number 12 overall. Ajobi, of course, this has got to be Kansas, right?
I hope it's, but
Oh, is
it's
it Nebraska? No, it's
not.
Nebraska.
No, it's Tim
I
Miles is
actually
Nebraska
not a fan of
Cornhuskers.
that, but yeah.
Yes, Tim Miles and the Nebraska Cornhuskers coming in.
Spirit of Tim Miles lives, huh?
Yeah.
Always.
Well, Brian, what do you think about this Nebraska team here? Is this really a three seed here that that they found a way to pick up a nice road win out west this weekend?
Yeah, I feel like they are. I watched them absolutely destroy Oregon earlier this season. They're a really good team. They don't have a whole lot of flaws. I wonder if they're going to be able to. Wonder if they're going to be able to hang on to Hoiberg super long. If a big blue blood ever has a vacancy, I feel like he'd be toward the top of their list. So he's done a fantastic job. They've only lost to tier one opponents. So I feel like they're right up there in that echelon. That's where I have them personally. But I know I didn't throw my seed list at you, but that's exactly where I have them. So I fully do agree that they are deserving, and hopefully they can get that monkey off their back. I believe they're 0-6 all time in the NCAA tournament. So it'd be nice to see them finally pick up a win in the big dance.
Yeah, and Stalika, you look at that quad one though. They are 7 wins away from home out of their 8 quad one wins, and then that's nice, is it not?
Yeah, I was going to say Illinois obviously going to be a protected seed right there. You also get wins against Ohio State and Indiana on the road, may or may not be in the field. USC kind of faltering, but still a good win for the Huskers to keep in their back pocket and also throw in a neutral court win against New Mexico for good measure.
If you look at the losses, Iowa is sort of the only game that they maybe blew, and it was still a hard game to win. I thought one of the most impressive games that they had this year was the game at Michigan, and I know that they lost, but I thought Nebraska was sort of playing above themselves and swinging over their heads and getting these wins. It wasn't until the Michigan game, the game that I lost, where I was like, holy crap, this is a
They were missing two players
consistently,
too.
yeah,
Yeah.
this is a team that is a consistently solid protected seed, not one that's just riding high and that's going to come back down to earth. I kind of expected them to be on the trajectory that Vanderbilt's kind of been on. Good, very good, certainly in the top half of the bracket, but not this good. Nebraska is this good.
Let's go ahead to start the four line off of Tytel. We finally get Joby's team here in Kansas, but
Oh.
your thoughts on what was, did we drop them too low? Was Joby maybe right that they belong a little higher?
You did. I like the team on the left more than the team on the right. Yes, they're beating all the, I'm kidding. They're beating the whole Big 12. I don't have it memorized, but I think many of the losses were without a healthy Darren Peterson. And all of the losses were without a 40-minute per night Darren Peterson, obviously. The JNG loves them. KPI worships them. Strength of schedule. I assumed that Alabama had that title all season. It looks like Kansas has finally passed them with all these hard Big 12 games. So Peterson is the big question mark. When healthy, they are absolutely a three seed, if not higher. If he's only playing 19 minutes or not there, then they absolutely do not belong on the top three lines.
Yeah, that was actually
Well,
Auburn was that
Chad,
number one
let me
seed
say
instead.
one thing that Greg said five better teams. Now, he obviously looks at road a lot more than I, but I dare say you can't find five better teams beaten than Kansas. Arizona, Houston, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, two of those away from home.
Yeah,
And by the way,
all
we
five
talked
of
about
four.
Nebraska, Texas Tech away, NC State away. That's more solid tournament teams than Nebraska has away from home.
Oh, I said
And
that
I
about
think
Texas.
it's also noteworthy to point out they were the only team to win in Lubbock.
Joey, I said that about Texas Tech. I thought they had the five wins that they had. Duke away from home. Houston was at home, but at Arizona, Iowa State. What was the other one? I'm forgetting. Yeah, at
What?
Duke, at Arizona, Houston, at Iowa
BYU.
State. Yeah.
Yeah.
BYU home, yeah.
Which that would be Kansas's sixth best one, I would argue, or seventh.
Let's go up, Matt. Let's go to number 14 overall. Team coming off a loss. How about the Zags?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it, definitely not a bad loss, and I think very, very much a St. Mary's. But at the same time, you look at everyone above them, even one loss when it's not to quite the level of some of the other teams we're seeing, that can drop you from like from the bottom of the three to the middle of the four.
And if we go right here to number 15, Rocco, this might be where we're starting to get some disagreement that these teams should not be protected seeds. But it's Joby's team, actually. Joby's
I
next team
like
up for Kansas. How about Virginia?
them. Yeah, Virginia is solidly in the top 16 still. All they did was lose at Duke, like everybody has. So from a resume standpoint, they're virtually in the same spot. They allowed the window to open a crack for teams to pass them, but you saw Gonzaga
Yeah.
fall. You saw other teams fall as well. Maybe there's an argument for Alabama to jump them. I'm sure we'll hear about them in a moment.
You want to hear about them in a moment? Let's hear about them right now. Yeah,
There you
there's
go. Smelt it coming.
our last protected seed.
Yeah.
Well, how about that? Joby, how about the Tide? I
They're
mean,
great right now.
they're
No,
now on an 8-game winning streak.
I know that they had the. I know that they had the. I mean, it's not like the teams they lost to, you go, oh, what were they thinking? But Alabama has looked outstanding. They have made it to the point with Vanderbilt's drop. I think there is a gap here. I think
any solid bracketologist would have the same top 16 teams. I think there's a gap between 16 and 17 that's pretty much a chasm. Alabama is the reason, but then you have, Gonzaga and Virginia coming off losses. Alabama might have, as Rocco pointed out, pulled closer to those two, because then I think those three teams are all alone, so to speak, on the four line. And barring some craziness, I think those three teams can pretty much settle that they're going to be on the four line. There's not a whole lot that those teams can do to get up to the three, and not a whole lot they can do to fall down to the five.
Yeah, amazing win yesterday also. They have the comeback at Tennessee. I think that cemented them there. I think before that there might have been an argument had they lost that game, especially the way they were losing early. Maybe an ACC team would have belonged up there. Maybe the Tar Heels even. I'll just throw that out there for you. But let's go ahead, and what I'm going to do now is do one full seed line at a time as we go into the five line. Tytel, let me start with you, by the way. So all four of the five seeds. We've got that North Carolina team we just mentioned, Tennessee we just mentioned, Vanderbilt who we mentioned recently, and Arkansas.
A lot of SEC, as it should be. I think that these are right around where I have them. So no veto, not that we're doing the no veto. It's a shame that all these teams have to travel around so much in terms of Tennessee heading all the way to Portland and Carolina heading all the way to San Diego, Arkansas heading all the way to Portland. Not that Virginia is going to have an easy flight either, obviously. The Kansas Vandy matchup intrigues me the most just because the least travel for both combined. And the fact that you have the proven legendary Hall of Famer in Bill Self against the unproven Mark Byington at Vandy, I think that that one is going to be a fantastic matchup to see. I really trust in coaches who have proven themselves in March, and I don't love that matchup for Vandy if Peterson's healthy.
Dorman, I'm just looking at the numbers here. Of these four teams, the highest any of us had any of these four teams rated was 16. The lowest was 21, which means it was almost unanimous that these four teams were the five line.
Yeah, when I got to my five line, it actually was one of the easiest spots I had on my bracket. I think they're clearly, I don't have any of these teams really contesting right now for the four line. I have Alabama ahead of all these teams by some margin. And then when we show the next line, I think you're going to show that these teams are significantly ahead of the next group that are going to pop on the sixth line. So I agree with everyone that it's pretty much these four teams are going to be cemented right now in the five line. But got a lot of conference tournaments, Tennessee, Vandy, and Arkansas all going to the SEC tournament. There are going to be a lot of big wins to be had there. So can they move up? Absolutely.
Matt, let me pull up the sixth line here, and I'll throw a quick caveat before there also. So through them, we've got Kentucky, Louisville, BYU, and St. John's. A little caveat is BYU actually came in as our top seven seed. There was a major bracketing problem because they could only play in the West or the South region, and both the seven line pod seed pods play Friday, Sunday in St. Louis. So BYU got a slight nod up over. I'll throw it out there over Wisconsin, who should have been here.
Yeah, that's where I think with BYU, you're going to have to do some movement. Sorry, there might be a movement down at 1.2 at some point because I know generally the preference is to move down, not up, I believe. But
It's whatever.
it was literally a one-team swap with them. They
Okay.
were in Wisconsin, were neck to neck, so a one-team swap up was an
Well,
easier
yeah.
move for me at that point.
Yeah, but I'd say because of BYU having to play on a Thursday, Saturday pod, both times, and that they're gonna have to be, you might have to do some movement with them, especially where they are in the bracket now.
Right. Who else have we just heard from recently here? Rocco, let me ask you about these other teams here, though. Kentucky, Louisville, St. John's. You think this is right where they belong?
I think so. Yeah, I think I'll take another look at maybe St. John's moving up based on their Villanova win, but outside of that, this is right where I have it going into the exercise at this moment.
Griggs, you would not agree with Louisville here, would you have?
No, I'm just really not impressed with them. I think that some of this, the win against Kentucky occurred. First of all, it was at home. Secondly, it was at a time before Kentucky really got their motors started. I actually have Kentucky ahead of Louisville, despite the head-to-head result. NC State at home is hardly worth mentioning anymore. Indiana, since, I mean, the rest of the Tier One are NIT caliber teams. They're 3-7 on the road. Their best road win, I believe, is against Cal, and that's, while that's decent at best, it's there's teams that we haven't selected that I think are better and have better profiles. And I'm just really kind of to the point with Louisville to where how many games do they have to lose, and how many times do they have to like fail to pick up a quality win that's better than Kentucky and NC State at home before people realize that they're probably overvaluing them.
Mike, let me go to you for our seven line. I mentioned Wisconsin's going to be here. That, like I said, they should have been a six. BYU should have been a seven. The other three are Miami, St. Louis, and Villanova.
Not Buffalo, Villanova.
Not Buffalo. Griggs made a little mistake on the website this
Yeah.
morning, but we fixed
Let's
it.
see. I'm just checking mine. I had Villanova, Utah State, NC State, but now we're in an area where it's the difference is not as great. I mean, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I would have had St. Louis in the seven, but they haven't really they've picked up some losses in the and even in their wins recently, they've kind of struggled. Like they struggled at home against Duquesne recently. Villanova, Wisconsin. I had Miami as an I had them in the eight line, but this is the like I said, this past weekend there are a lot of teams in the middle of the ball in the middle of the bracket on down that lost. They had their chance to really make a statement and they didn't do it in the positive way. But so I mean, some disagreement for me personally, but I'm good with it. I mean, it's you can make a pro and con for a lot of teams in this area.
Joby, I want to ask you, because you and I would have agreed on something here on this slide here. You and I would have both had St. Louis a couple seed lines lower.
Yeah,
I
that's
do
where I
make the
agree.
argument for that.
I
Hey,
agree. Let me make it clear. I think St. Louis is in this field as long as they don't lose Loyola, Chicago, and Mason. They are at large worthy. All right. Just, I want to make that very clear. But you can't get past the fact they didn't just lose to Dayton, they got blown out by Dayton. And then now the roadie loss is starting to really hang. Like it's kind of like you could push the Rhode Island loss to the side, saying, well, everybody deserves a slip up. How they lost the Dayton, and then Mike pointed out very well on Duquesne, they're just not playing that great all of a sudden. I don't know if they're coasting or whatever,
I
but
think
there are
so.
enough good teams that we're going to be talking about that I think would beat, just plain simple, I think would beat St. Louis on a neutral court. And I might add, even the J&G, who's not, I don't agree with always. They're even saying right now, St. Louis is a nine. And part of it also, let me add one last thing, is that non-conference strength of schedule at 321 is not pretty. So it's not, they did rack up a nice record against a lot of crud, but do I think this is a tournament team? Yes. I don't want to over, criticize, but I don't think they're a top half of the field team anymore.
Matt, I'm going to go through the eight to you for the eight line, where we've got NC State, UCF, St. Mary's, and Clemson. I specifically want to ask you about St. Mary's. It's a team that probably everybody in this field had the biggest variance. You had them the highest. You've had them a couple seed lines higher. A couple of us would have them a couple seed lines lower than this.
Yeah, that's on there now. That'd be the WCC co-champ, St. Mary's, and that. And I think, and if you plus, and if you look, all of their metrics are in the mid-20s, and that. So that's where, like I said, I am as a six seed, and like not at the bottom of the six line either. And then I like their overall profile. Now they, you got the big win to go with everything else, and that's like that. That's what for me bumps them. In this case, a couple of seed lines just because that is the one thing their resume was missing. Is at that big win, and also I value Santa Clara a fair amount, so I think getting them both this week in pretty convincing fashion in both cases, not just at the buzzer, they won both by double digits, and that this to me I think eight's way too low for them.
I guess I hate to play a little Griggs logic here, but Where is their win away from home? Even neutral, where is their win away from home against anybody that's in this field?
Well, that's not far off, and that's, yeah, I mean, but I think this is getting the volume of, like, they won most all their games away from home. They'd have maybe that one great one, but I think the volume of winning a whole bunch of decent, and that we're saying even like St. Louis, who I like a lot, I still has a 7 seed, and that puts it, St. Louis just lost to Dayton, just lost to Rhode Island. St. Mary's basically didn't do anything like that.
All right. Tytel, what about the other three teams in this line? NC State, UCF, and Clemson.
I love the ACC matchup, and I don't like NC State's chances. They've been fading fast, losing to the Irish, for God's sakes. I don't think Mike will have any worries about UCF because Michigan looks so good. I was kind of expecting Arizona's first matchup against a WCC team to be against the Zags in San Jose, but apparently it's going to be against St. Mary's in San Diego, which is, could be the Paulus Morauskas revenge game, so a little concerned, but I think we'll certainly be favored as the one seed. And then Clemson keeps Clemsoning, even though they had a nice win the other day over Louisville. So I think UConn will cakewalk over them in that one.
I didn't mention it when we were revealing the four line. Actually, Gonzaga should have been in the West with Arizona there, but there was a region balance problem, which ended up with Gonzaga going to the Midwest and Kansas going to the West. That's one of those little bracketing rules that are rather annoying for most people. But let's go ahead and jump over to the nine line. And Brian, let me bring you back in. I could see some potential first round matchups here. As we reveal the 4-9 seeds, NC State gets Georgia, UCF gets Texas, St. Mary's gets Utah State, and Clemson gets Iowa. Your thoughts on those four teams or four matchups?
When I look at who we get, what are we looking at, the nine line here? Yeah, so I don't know. We're starting to get to the teams that, in my opinion, didn't have quite as loud of a season as some of the rest of these, obviously. But I mean, the only one I'd kind of look at, I don't know, do you drop Georgia to the 10, or do then that's the thing, is do you drop Georgia to the 10, or and bring up maybe Mizzou or UCLA? I don't know. UCLA, I'm kind of iffy on. So with Georgia, I feel like they're the one to me, I feel like maybe we need to call into question a little bit. They did have, they do have that quad three loss or tier three loss to Ole Miss. So I don't know, maybe I'm gonna look at that one. But Mizzou, they don't have any quad three losses. And I know that, that the wins are obviously something we got to focus on too. But I, look at that quad three loss, I think might push them below Mizzou for me. You have to take a look at them. But that's about the only question I have. The rest, I definitely agree on the nine line.
It's kind of funny you say that. I'll just reveal a little behind the scenes here. Georgia was the very last team on this nine line. We haven't shown it yet. The top team on our 10 line was Missouri. We literally had the back-to-back, Brian Siebert. But Rocco, let me ask you that question, though. Should Georgia really be behind Missouri? They're two games behind them in the conference standings. They had a worse non-conference strength of schedule. There's a lot that favors Missouri, isn't there?
Yeah, except for Georgia won in Columbia. So
Okay.
if they're next
Yeah.
to each other, they won on their floor.
But
And if enough of it's even, I mean, I like Missouri's collection. They both won at Kentucky, right? Missouri won at A&M, but I have Missouri higher than A&M, so I'm more impressed with Georgia winning at Missouri. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's 33 and 34 for me. They're both nines, very solid nines, and yeah, it's not much to debate at this point. Now, if they were the last two teams on the bubble, it'd be different. But for now, that's what I think it's easy enough with everything else being fairly similar. Missouri had a, I mean, I don't know who does the net non-conference strength of schedule that the committee uses, but it needs to be completely like exposed because Missouri on KenPom's like 350th non-conference, and they deserve that. I don't know how they're getting away with this 205th. But anyway, that's it. If you really want to get in the weeds, I'll get in the weeds. But right now, they've both proven enough to be in, and they've had some bad and some good. And I think this committee's heading down a path of where you top out your resume, as Griggs loves to say. And I give the tiny, tiny edge to the Bulldogs.
Salika, 10 line. Let's reveal it here. Miami gets Texas A&M. St. Louis gets Miami. Ohio gets up there to the 10 line. SMU and Missouri are the other two teams here.
Miami is going to be the one team that's trending up. All the other three are, well, Missouri, I would actually probably have had them a couple seed lines higher because I think they've quietly put together some solid wins in the SEC, as Rocco has noted. Their one weakness, though, is they don't have anything of substance outside of the conference. You look at teams like Texas A&M and SMU, they are by no means safe in this tournament, and they'd better, especially in the case of SMU, they better not take the last week off or even lose their ACC tournament opener, because otherwise they're in real jeopardy of missing the field.
Yeah, we talked about them at the top of the show. Dorman, what about Texas A&M, another team going in the wrong direction these days?
Yeah, Buckyball had it going good for a while. I think it's partly the schedule got tough, and they had some SEC games on the road. But the thing that impresses me is when we look at these Tier 1 wins for A&M, they're all on the road, at Georgia, at Texas, at Auburn, at Oklahoma. Now, I know none of the four of those teams are going to blow anyone away, but winning on the road in the conference is very difficult. We've seen some of our teams that are already in, even on the five and the four line, that couldn't win on the road in the conference. So I think A&M will get out of this funk. They get Kentucky at home, and then they get LSU on the road. I think the road wins will keep piling up with the game in LSU. I think they're safely in the field because I think A&M is much stronger than what the teams on the bubble look like.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break here before we go to the 11 line because we got another special guest joining us. First time we've had her on our show ever. I don't want to say your name wrong, so why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Yvetta Aberman, and really excited to be here with you guys. I've been a fan for a really long time now. So, you know, I really appreciate everything you guys do and all the hard work you put into.
They locked me in a bunker.
Everything, everything throughout the season. Look at that. Oh my Lord. So I'm really, really grateful to be here. So hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Yes. Welcome, Yvetta. It's great to have you. We were just kind of revealing our consensus bracket that we put together today here. I'll give you a few seconds to take a look at it. Maybe if I ask a few questions here. I was about to reveal a couple of the 11 seeds. The first two 11 seeds, the two that missed the first four, TCU and UCLA. Let's ask you, have any thoughts on these two teams? Do you think that these two teams are currently in the field?
So perhaps I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how things shake out. I would say maybe UCLA. I'm leaning more towards UCLA than TCU, but TCU has potential as well. And I think that's a good place for them if they were to, you know, if everything were to shake out as it is currently projected to. So yeah, but UCLA, I think a lot, you know, they've got a lot of antics and things going on. So it's one of those things where I think they have some talent, but it'll be interesting to see. This is why I wouldn't make a good play-by-play commentator because, you know, think on my feet.
Hey,
not alone. So you're not alone there. Trust me. Way too certain things.
I've normally passed out drunk and not on my feet, so don't.
UCLA would do good for themselves by winning one of these final two games before they head to Chicago for the Big Ten tournament. Coming in on a three-game losing streak would not be good for their hopes.
Yeah, there's reasons to take both these teams and reasons to leave them out. TCU just has that anchor loss of New Orleans. It's, I mean, you're kind of holding your nose at that. And Notre Dame, whereas, you know, UCLA has losses, but they don't have any losses to teams that are 1,000 miles outside the bubble. The one thing about UCLA is that they don't like student sections.
And they can't win outside of Westwood. That's the problem,
yeah.
too.
But you get the entertainment factor of Mick Cronin, and that's the next reason just put him into the tournament, correct?
Yeah. Were there any issues with the Gopher student section? Or
I don't know. I would if Probably. UCLA isn't selected, I think they should just invite Mick Cronin and ask him questions during the games.
I'm going to, Tytel, I'm going to reveal the first of our first four matchups. It's going to be in the South region. St. John's potential opponent in the 6-11 game there will be the winner of a game between Santa Clara and Ohio State. Do you agree with that? Especially Ohio State offered that win today.
Well, I'm going to be the only John who agrees with that, as I know my fellow John has many, many strong feelings about the Buckeyes, who are, he doesn't have to like it, but they are trending upwards. Santa Clara, Rocco loves the three-bid WCC, and frankly, they're earning it. I'm still not sure what happens if they get blown out in the conference tourney. I'll defer to Rocco on that, but I think either of these teams would have a very tough time with St. John's. And my fun fact about the Buckeyes is it turns out that one of the guys in my fantasy baseball league happens to be Bruce Thornton's uncle. So shout out Ken Lewis, who's a very nice guy.
Rocco, what about that Santa Clara? They will likely play the winner of a Seattle versus Pacific game in their quarterfinal, which is either one of those a dangerous team before they even get to St. Mary's.
Yeah, head-to-heads, they handle both in the last 3 weeks. They played them both on the road. And well, the Seattle was down in Santa Clara, but they played at Pacific. So I think based on those matchups, they should be fine. But at the same time, I was talking to a lot of the WCC beat writers last night. If there is any surprise teams in this tournament, I think it's either Seattle or Pacific. like I've written off the Beavers, even though they got the 4 seed. The Dons have, I'm hoping for the best for the Dons, and hopefully they at least get to Monday. But I do think Pacific and Seattle offer some danger factors. You saw Pacific have the lead at Gonzaga a week and a half ago. We've seen Seattle mess with a lot of teams, beating multiple Power Fives. So Santa Clara, not exactly on the safest side of the bracket, but I, to Tytel's point, I don't see either of those teams blowing them out. They might lose by, you know, a buzzer beater or a tight one at the end. Otherwise, I think Santa Clara can get to the semis. I feel very good just based on where we're at today. Now, of course, we get 3 or 4 bid stealers. We get some massive surprises, like if Virginia Tech wins at Joe B's Virginia, things like that. Could really put the Broncos in a tough spot. But the Broncos have been mostly consistent, especially in WCC play, going 15-3. They didn't lose to any of the bottom 9 teams. That's actually really hard to do. And it's cool that the WAB and things like that are in place now to capture some of that. And they remind me a lot of 2022 San Francisco, who did break through as a 10 seed while also going 0-5 against Gonzaga and St. Mary's combined. The Santa Clara team actually went 1-3 so far.
Joby, I got to go to you for our final two teams here.
Oh, I know who it is.
But I think you know why.
Uh-oh, Mountain West.
You know you're such a fan of the Mountain West.
Here's Mountain West.
BYU's opponent will be the winner of a game between New Mexico and Indiana.
Oh, well, God. You're going to be in shock that I did not have New Mexico there, but
no,
that way, was no. That I have to be honest. I think that we have selected the teams the committee will select. I think New Mexico will be,
yeah,
as of today, will be selected. Heck, I didn't even have them that far out. They showed it this week against San Diego State. That was a big, big deal because I don't know if it was a playing game because San Diego State was a little bit back, but that was a big win for the Lobos. Give them credit on that. And I do think Galen, yes, your Hoosiers, I think, are in right now. And so, yeah, as much as I would love to give shtick and uproar over it, yeah, hey, the fact of the matter is, I think that is, we are staring what the committee, even though we're not trying to guess the committee, I think we're staring where the committee is right now.
Yeah, Stalika, the top 4 teams out actually in order were VCU, San Diego State, Cal, and Auburn. We did not put a 15-14 Auburn team in, thankfully.
Yeah, and California also flew below the hard deck by losing at home to Pittsburgh, which is almost a disqualifier at this point. VCU probably just needs to wait for one of these teams to implode, but frankly, when you look at the regular season finale between Ohio State and Indiana, I think that's a play-in where the winner probably sneaks into the field. Loser, they better make a deep run in their conference tournament.
Is VCU that? I mean, it just doesn't feel like any of those teams, sans maybe Auburn, should be that close. I think VCU's good, but they haven't done anything. They haven't beaten anyone that's going to be on the board other than maybe Virginia Tech. Was VaTech close? Well, I guess they weren't.
Well, let me go back here. I'll quickly reveal the rest of the teams that at least got votes to be in there.
Yeah.
A
There it
few teams
is.
that actually we're going to still see on the 13 line, the 12 and 13 lines had votes also, but VaTech would have been the next team up. West Virginia, USC imploding. Chad Baker-Mazzara gone from the team. It's just awful there in USC. Cincinnati, Stanford, Seton Hall, Oklahoma State all got votes to be in the top 55, not necessarily in the field, but in the top 55. But Dorman, I wanted to ask you about that Auburn team that did not make the field because you would have had them in despite that record, despite that pitching
Yeah, I
class.
think I did too.
I
And you did
had
too, Brooks.
them in that last spot. They just have wins that, when I'm comparing them to the teams like VCU on the left, look, they won in Florida. That means a lot to me. I got this Florida team. I love this Florida team. They're playing great. And it wasn't that long ago that they did beat them in the O Dome. St. John's on a neutral. Again, we have St. John's in this bracket an hour ago. Arkansas, Kentucky, they just have wins against the field and some impressive wins against the field that I don't see on the other resumes. That's why I had them barely in the field.
Let me ask this. This is just sort of an exercise chat. I know that the 15 and 14 record is making your eyes bleed, but I kind of look at, like, if you lose away from home against a one seed or a two seed, and they did, I mean, they're 15 and 14, but if you, Michigan, Arizona, Houston, and Purdue all away from home, I kind of look at those the same way I look at tier four wins, and that's you almost have to ignore them. With
Griggs, my problem is if you play that sort of a schedule, you can't lose at home to Ole Miss. You can't lose to Mississippi State. You can't lose to Oklahoma.
No, you can't. And there are reasons to leave them out. But what I'm saying is, would everybody have left them out had they, instead of losing those four games, beat four sub-300 teams, had an 18 or 19 and what's my puppet math here? 19 and 13 record, would we all have selected them?
Here's the
Yeah, but
other
you can't go by
question.
what is. You have to go by what is.
Let me ask this as trying
Boom.
to
Yeah, well,
do
I am, Mike. I'm saying that what
agreement.
is that you can't really like punish them for losing those four games any more than you can reward a team for winning games against teams outside the top 250. That was
Right.
the point I'm making.
And I'm with Griggs on this. And you say Ole Miss, oh, that's terrible law. Ole Miss isn't the worst team, and they're not, they're okay. Like, look at that. They lost, VCU lost to George Mason. California lost to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh at
Like,
home.
there's losses all over these team sheets when you get to these type of teams that I get the criticism against Auburn. I get it
Oh, yeah.
because it's ugly and there's some losses there shouldn't be. But, like, we could go through all these resumes, like Cal that Chad just pulled up. Thank you. Pittsburgh. Like, I think Ole Miss is better than Pittsburgh. I just do.
They are.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. Let me ask Yvette, our new member, our new newest person here on the show. Auburn could be going to the NCAA tournament with 16 losses if they lose to Alabama and in the SEC tournament. Do you think that we could should see a 16-loss team get an at-large bid?
I personally do not. I was at that Florida game, and that was a very fluky Florida performance. It was just it's not even. I mean, I don't want to discount it because, like you guys said, yeah, there's definitely there's losses all over the board, and you can't just put all your eggs in that basket. But I think the fact that, I mean, just looking at their performance since then, yeah, I mean, they have no business losing to some of these teams. So yes, they had a great win in the O Dome. They caught, Florida sleeping that game, and I know it was very emotional with the Final Four rematch, but yeah, I mean, I think there's more deserving teams, so I think they're pretty much right where they should be, being in that, right on the cusp, but out, in my opinion.
Let's go ahead and reveal the rest of the field here. Let's start with that 12 line. Brian, let me ask you, we got McNeese, Liberty, Belmont, and a little battle of Nashville there against Vanderbilt and South Florida.
So, as far as the thing I would question here is, Liberty and what is our other number? What do we got here? Liberty is one I call into question.
McNeese, South Florida, Belmont, yeah.
McNeese, I feel like Liberty is probably, I don't know, that's the one I don't like as much in terms of. Should we put somebody else like Ivy League champion, in there, and or one of the Southland obviously is in there too. I don't know, High Point, the Big South. If if they end up winning the Big South as well, I don't know. Liberty is the only one I kind of call into question. I don't know if the Conference USA is just some people's.
I'll throw this
Chad,
off
why did
to.
you select McNeese over SFA?
The way that I do this is if any team gets votes in the top 55, and they're the top team in the conference, they go into the auto bid winner. So you can all thank Matt, who actually put McNeese in his top 55. So that meant McNeese had to go in as the auto bid winner out of the Southland. So Matt, that's all on
Because
you.
I put them in the Jerome, so.
I think SFA is better, but what it doesn't. Rough week. Liberty just completely just going off a cliff the last week. Belmont screwing up today. And South Florida's been solid. And
South
McNeese
Florida is
is
red
hosting
hot.
the conference tournament as the second place team.
13 line here, Rocco. We did get that High Point team in there, along with Wilmington, Yale, and Utah Valley.
I think that's fair, except I think Yale's a 12, but
I agree.
I'm right there with Brian Black on that. And I think Wilmington takes a home loss tonight, but the teams below them, they're still probably not going to fall below Utah Valley or the next team, which I would have UC Irvine.
We've got the 14 line coming up
Hey
here.
Chad, if Utah Valley gets doesn't win their court case, does Virginia get to go automatically without playing them?
I see what you
We've
did there.
lost enough 13-4 games recently. I don't need another.
Okay, real quick here, the 14 line dormant. We've got North Dakota State, Hawaii. We went with Hawaii instead of Irvine to toss up there. Troy and Navy in the 14 line.
Three seeds beware. Those are some dangerous teams. I love this North Dakota State team. Hawaii can score. The Big West. They would be tough there if they get matched up against a real big team down low, a physical team. That's where Hawaii will struggle. But if they get into a run and gun shootout game and a game of threes and up and down we go, Hawaii can win a game in this tournament. Troy was there last year, I believe. They won the Sun Belt. They're back again this year. A dangerous team. They'll have plenty of support if they do get sent to Greenville. And Navy, I would love to see Navy back in this tournament, back from the days of David Robinson.
Yeah, you gave Hawaii the worst opponent you could have, Chad.
The 15 line, Portland State, East Tennessee State, Merrimack. Yvette, you're going to be going to see Austin Peay in the Ace Sun tournament this week, are you not?
I am, yeah.
Wow. That's going to be a
And
good tournament.
Jacksonville, Florida.
I'll begin to look at Merrimack in the Metro Atlantic myself. So, finally, the 16 line here. Griggs, Duke gets the winner of a UMBC Bethune-Cookman game. Michigan gets Wright State. Arizona gets LIU. And UConn gets the winner of a Howard-Tennessee State game.
Yeah, a couple of good stories here. Tennessee State in the OVC, a big turnaround for that program. That their best season in recent memory, really. And Cookman's been kind of fun in the SoCon, or I'm sorry, the SWAC. Oh my God.
I was going to say, they're going to the SoCon.
That's
Yeah,
huge
sure.
news. Yeah, so an entertaining night in Dayton. And while those are good stories, I think the stories end after the round of 64.
That does complete it, though. But before I go to any other final, to all of you for your final thoughts, it is the start of championship week. We will be coming to you every single night with our video notebooks where we go over everything that happened that day, preview the next day. And so if you'll take a few moments here to preview the one and only game that's coming up in Championship Week tomorrow night, Monday night. It is opening round day in the Horizon League. And who is not excited to see IU Indy at Cleveland State?
I'm not sleeping tonight.
go ahead. Somebody take it. Somebody take a preview there. You probably do an hour for our
IU Indy can score 110 points and still lose. They don't even bother to play defense. They try and shoot the ball, I think, in the first 8 seconds of the possession. If Cleveland State can get control of the game, they'll beat them just because once you throw them off balance, they tend to stay off balance. I think the real story is this like ridiculous drug induced tournament bracket that we have here.
I would also just add on to that. Cleveland State lost to IU Indy on February 7th and hasn't won since. IU Indy gave them the poison pill for the rest of the year. And after IU Indy won the game, they haven't won a game since. So something's got to give, but the last matchup certainly went in the direction of the Jaguars, the 82-74 victory.
Yeah, the magic of March Madness.
So it's the movable force versus the resistable.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, we've got to know.
This is what's tipping off March Madness, by the way. This
just get you worried about this format here. That's the opening round tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the quintuple finals.
The quintuple correct? Finals, yes.
Sunday is the, I have no idea what the hell we call it, finals in the middle there. Then we get the semis of the championship game. Just so
it's the bracketed quarterfinal round.
Yeah, Chad, one other note on this game. Dion Nessa is by far Cleveland State's best player. He got injured in the Wright State loss on February 15th, has not played since. And that has obviously played into some of these poor performances from the Vikings. They beat Wright State back in January, the one seed. So IU Indy has a little bit of a personnel advantage just because I do not believe he'll be available tomorrow night.
Wow. Okay. Let me ask just a couple of you here quickly, since this is our first look at the Horizon League tournament. Who do you think is going to win this thing?
I don't know.
it's a crazy format. Obviously, the advantage to Wright State, Robert Morris, and Detroit, they are most likely to, they would never have to play that middle, I don't know what to call it, final round. If they win, they would get right into the semis. But Joby, you going with the favorite? You going somewhere else?
No, I'm going with Robert Morris on this one. They've been sneaking up lately. And Wright State won regular season title. And, you know, they've kind of had it locked up for a while. But Robert Morris has been playing better lately, and I'm going to go with a little more. I mean, it's not that Wright State's played poorly, but I like how Robert Morris is playing.
Robert Morris is playing. I'll throw this out there here. Dorman, Detroit's having an incredible season. Mm-hmm. Green Bay, Doug Gottlieb story.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
And Detroit has beaten Wright State already at Wright State, and that's a watch for that game. Comes up, that game would be interesting again. See if Wright State gets revenge. But there's some good stories in this conference tournament.
Detroit Mercy, coached by a Tom Izzo disciple.
Yeah, I'm not going with chalk at all. They've been really disappointing, but I think Oakland is capable of playing the best. That's my pick.
Oakland can be good.
Vanna, what do you think?
I'm gonna go with Wright State this year, okay. Which is. I don't mean to be chalky because the Horizon League tournament is always so volatile and you almost never get the top seed as the champion. But I don't know. There's something I feel like they've created, and I agree about Robert Morris. I think they're definitely a contender, but I feel like they've been pretty consistent throughout the season. They had a few hiccups, but then I feel like they've created enough separation to where I can see them actually winning it this year. I don't know. I feel like there aren't as many sneaker waves in the league this season as there have been in the past as far as those like mid-tier teams, but Again, it wouldn't be surprising.
Oh no, what like and they've got the easiest path and they've played really well too, so
Let's
Wright
go
State's the
ahead.
sensible pick.
We'll be back during our. We'll do a regular Hoops HD report tomorrow night. We'll take a look at what happened in the Monday game. We'll preview Tuesday game, all the Tuesday games tomorrow night as well. And what we're going to do during Championship Week is we're going to be updating our survival board every night. Just give you a quick look here at where we're starting off. Should have been scrolled up here, but this is our survival board. It's right up there on the website. And as we record this, there's 342 teams left with a chance to make it. By the time we are done with Championship Week, it'll be 68. And by the time we're done with the NCAA tournament, we'll be down to one. We got a long way to go here, though, Griggs.
And we've made we're your team, we're in the final 342. I want to hang the banner and sell the shirts. Final
Well,
342.
unless your team is marked as eliminated like Binghamton, you are in the final 342. And you could be a lock like Duke. You're in the NCAA tournament no matter what. You could be a bubble team like SMU. You may need to do a little more work to get in. Or you could be like Boston College and your only shot is with the auto bid. And you may not even, you probably won't even qualify for the ACC tournament. It just hasn't quite locked that up yet. But let's, I'm going to go ahead and throw the, if I can find the right button here. Throw the screen back up again that we do with the bracket and run through each of you for any other final thoughts you might have on anything that we discussed or anything college basketball related or anything else you want to throw out there. And Matt, let me start with you tonight.
The one I'm looking at is right at the top of the bracket. I think Michigan's loss of LJK said, sorry, Mike, actually really hurts them because now they're left with just Elliott Canoa as like a 2-point guard and even as a floor general period. Like Trey McKinney struggled with having to run the point the other day in the Illinois game, even though they won comfortably. And that's why I think it might be the difference between winning the title and not, because at some point, if Canoa gets in foul trouble in that, Michigan might be in trouble. And hey, in March, it only takes one loss.
It does. Dorman.
Yes, the next 7 to 10 days in college basketball are my favorite of the year. Our under the radar teams take center stage, and you see the passion and the desire to keep on playing because a lot of these kids, it's definitely the end of your season if you're done. And for the upperclassmen and the seniors, it's the end of your careers for most of them, as they won't be going on to play professional basketball. And the passion you see in these games, and we joked about the 10-11 there in the horizon, but there's such great theater and such great intensity no matter what the seeds are. And we'll get our power conferences. They'll come in and they'll be the stories of the tournament. But the next 10, the next week or so, watch these under the radar teams. There's great coaching. There's phenomenal players that'll be all over the power conferences next year. It's tremendous basketball. It's high level basketball, and it is incredible theater.
It is. Brian.
Yeah, and so like you said with the survival board, I'll be counting down each of the
Oh,
ones
yeah.
of the 283 of them so far. So just like about 82 or 83 left to go to grab for all 365 of them. So that's the goal, is to try to get there. And that the thing I'm looking at also is Miami University. I'm very fascinated as to where they're going to get placed in the bracket. And I know we have them as a 10. I feel like that's appropriate. What if they get all the way to the MAC championship game and lose in like quadruple overtime and don't lose any other games up till that point? It's like, okay, like they probably still be a first four team in my book, but that's a lot of debate on that one. That's one of the more fascinating teams I think I've ever seen in the history of college basketball if they end up going undefeated into the NCAA tournament itself.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. They got two more regular season tests too, before that. Ty Tell.
So Chad was very good in February about giving us some tantalizing matchups with storylines. We still have a couple of stuff. We could have Pitino against Izzo in Philadelphia in the second round, but it seems like we're so close. Stalika and I are both pulling for the Miami versus Miami matchup, which it could happen as we're on the 7-10 line now. I would love to see Duke UCF maybe in a second round, Johnny Dawkins going against his alma mater. And of course, the Sean Miller Arizona game. Chad, we're so close. Give it to me.
Oh yeah, we were. Mike.
Every year, about there's an average of 2 to 3 bid thieves. So I'm looking at New Mexico, Indiana, Santa Clara, Ohio State.
You're going to have two, maybe even three of those teams be knocked out. So that's the thing to look for. And I'm really intrigued by the Miami of Ohio situation. Do they get in if they don't win their conference tournament? They do have 28 wins, but remember it's 26 Division I wins, and so that's they're it's very intriguing because yes, they have a gaudy record, but their strength of schedule is extremely poor, and they don't have a tier one or a tier two win. So that's it's you know it's kind of a flimsy 28-0 record, but I'm just very intrigued to see about the Miami of Ohio situation and the potential bid thieves here.
Yes, absolutely. Stalika.
I think a team that's in real trouble right now is going to be BYU. Ever since the Richie Saunders injury back in mid-February, the Cougars were already starting to go downward at that time. That downward trend has really accelerated now with losses against UCF, Arizona on the road, and now you add a loss at West Virginia over the weekend. They finished their regular season with a game at Cincinnati and also their home finale against Texas Tech. They're not going to be in danger of missing the NCAA tournament, but this is a team that could easily find themselves seated in the lower half of the bracket when you consider the selection committee has to look at the team without Richie Saunders going forward.
Yeah, this is. I agree with you. The team is really going the wrong direction right now. Joby.
I hinted at it on the when you asked me at the very end of the bracket what you thought for Tytel, for Rocco, for the J&G. I actually think as we sit today, and Mike points out there are bid thieves probably still to come, but as we sit today, the difference between numbers 46 and 47 is a chasm. It is an easy group to select. And we selected it, not because we're trying to guess the committee, because there's almost no way we wouldn't have, because the gap between where the at-larges and at-large worthy champions are is very large right now. That may change due to the bid thieves that Mike said, but as of right now, if there are no bid thieves, big if, I think, and there's no craziness that comes along the bubble, like Ohio State taking silly losses and et cetera. You could have almost everybody that is worthwhile on bracket matrix get a 68 out of 68, because it's not hard to do looking right at this very moment.
You're right. I think, Joby, where it comes, scotch comes into play, you get a bid thief. Now you're not looking at. Now you got to take one of those first four teams out.
Yes,
That's where you get your debate.
or Auburn wins LSU and Alabama. They do that, then all of a sudden, no matter what happens in the SEC tournament, I think they do jump into the conversation. That win at Alabama, not easy.
You bet it.
Well, obviously, it's a long season, so season-long numbers mean nothing. So, of course, we want to watch for teams that are getting hot at the right time. So we know that. But I also have this. I guess it's kind of a philosophy for the last maybe 5 or 10 years. But I like to fade the storyline. So I've noticed through the years that if a team or a player starts getting excessive attention, right, whether it's a mid-major or power, could be a staff member, could be, somebody's retirement tour, just whatever the storyline happens to be, usually results in them bowing out early, to some degree. So I've noticed that that very few of those storylines that have been hot around this time of year have actually they've been actually been able to capitalize on and went on to either win the tournament or make it to the Final Four. So that's kind of something that I always look for. And it's been the case for the last 4 or 5 years as well. So just something that I like to keep in mind as we get into March.
Absolutely. Great. That is something. You have to let us know if you find any too. So
Yeah.
we can
Veta, we were
make
talking about
reference.
your Florida State Seminoles before you joined, about if only the season had started in January, they'd be doing a lot better.
Yeah, they're finally starting to find their groove. So I think they can definitely make a deep run in the ACC tournament. I don't think they have the horses to win the ACC tournament. I wish I, could say something different, but I think they can definitely make a deep run and surprise some people for sure.
Yeah, they're definitely good enough to break some stuff.
Oh, Rocco.
Yeah, well, I first of all didn't get to address the bubble, but I would strongly disagree with the inclusion of the Indiana Hoosiers. And perhaps that's a byproduct of submitting the list too early before that game was over today, because as we sit here now at 7:30 my time in the West Coast, we're looking at an Indiana team, Chad, that is currently 10 and 12 in meaningful games, with 7 of those 10 wins 2B or worse. Quad 2B or worse are where 7 of those 10 wins exist. And so when you look at that, they really only have home wins over Purdue, which is, solid, and Wisconsin, which was an overtime win, and a road UCLA win, which was also an overtime game. Not exactly convincing. And right now, I'm pretty sold that the bad has outweighed the good. I had them out after the Northwestern loss earlier this week. Now they're even further away from being selectable. They finish up, of course, with games against Minnesota at home, a team they've already lost to. And they got to go to Ohio State in a bubble classic to finish up. So you get those two wins, you get back to 12 and 12 and meaningful. Maybe they'll squeeze into the spot we have them now. But for me, they're at least two wins away from the spot the group has them. Outside of that, a couple quick hitters. I didn't hear Nate Ament's injury mentioned during Tennessee. I think that's a huge thing to keep an eye on potentially. He tweaked both his knee and his ankle, only went 11 minutes in that Alabama loss. Big reason why Alabama came back. And he only scored 2 points in the game. And if you've been tracking Tennessee's season, he's a huge catalyst for why the Vols have evolved to where they are. I mean, they weren't playing that great early in the year, but that big win over Vanderbilt, it was all Nate Ament. Now, if Ament is out for extended time, that's seriously going to be discussed in the committee room and beyond. So keep your eye on that. Hopefully, for his sake, he's available. He's an unbelievable talent on his way to the NBA next year. So we only get him for another month, even if he's available. And last but not least, the matchup you have there in the first four between Santa Clara and Ohio State. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Christoph Tilly, the Ohio State big man, played 3 years for the Broncos, and now he's the starting center for the Buckeyes. Probably wouldn't mean a lot to Ohio State, but it would be a special opportunity to play against the big German for these Santa Clara people in my neighborhood. So that would be special if they played each other.
I'll just throw this out there. I agree with you completely about Indiana. I would have had the four or five teams out. The trouble is, who else do you put in there instead? I lean to VCU just on the only one who has a big record, but it's tough right now. Greg, so I'm going to finish
VCU.
off with you. I know you need the screen share, so I'm going to go ahead and take this down here and.
Yeah. First, real quick, we talk about bid thieves. I don't, it's just the way that things are lined up. I think we will see one in the WAC. I just think Akron's really good. I think we might see one in the A10, but there aren't that many opportunities like there were in the past just because there's no under the radar teams inside the bubble. But getting onto that, let's see, getting past that here, and I had time to get it set up and haven't. Let's see. Can you
Yeah,
get
there you
the
go.
I
It should
need
be
to,
coming
okay,
up
there
here.
it is. So, and I've
I
messed
hope
this
you're
up
not
before.
selling us something again.
Well, yeah. I mean that this is just I mean this is just one of the things I've done is that it should be coming up here. And this is just an unbelievable service. I try and help people out, and if you're not involved, like in just the modern day, artificial intelligence is big, and I am launching as of now Griggs AI. There it is. There's the interface for it. It's going to be there. And like, it's just, this will provide genius level intelligence. The special launch right now, if you order now, it's $699 a month. And if you want to ask it a question, it's an additional $5 you can there to be purchase. But Chad, you're acting.
This is
Chad, we are going to be demonstrating this during championship week. Every night, we are going to ask it basketball related
Wait,
questions.
you expect me to pay the $699.99?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to demonstrate it during championship week.
We're going to get back to this tomorrow night, Greg. This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Let me turn off the screen share here. I do want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. Look at this crowd of what we got. 11 people. This is an
Must be an
absolute
all-time high.
Must be March.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Great job, everybody. We will be talking to you again back tomorrow night and every night the rest of the way.
We're going to be debuting Griggs AI tomorrow.
I'll be everybody. We got David Dorman, Matt,
Negative.
And Joby Fortson up top here. Second row, right across, we got John Slika, John Titel, Mike Cha, Rocco Miller. Bottom row, we got David Griggs, Yvetta. I don't want to miss Abramian. Did I say it right?
That works.
That works. Okay. And Brian Black, I apologize. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again real soon.